Okay, welcome back. We're in our second hour of Immunize Wisely. I'm your host, Ingrid Castle. My guest is Shannon Rowan, author of Wi-Fi Refugee, Plight of the Modern Day Canary. And you can go to her website, wifi-refugee.com. So welcome back. You know, I'm knowing that you have all kinds of acknowledgments, and you know, your book is just great. But your partner, I mean, he really stuck with you through thick and thin. I keep thinking, certainly he felt affected. I wanted you to, you know, go into that, because if he was living there too, he may not have had some of the same exposures, but he certainly knew that some of his health issues could, you know, be related. Oh, yeah.
So well, that yeah, well, the first thing that happened was he noticed that when, you know, because we didn't move in together until later, but when he'd stay over at my place after we built the cage, you know, and stay in the cage, he noticed he wasn't having these weird heart palpitations that he always had staying at his parents' home, and he found out he was sleeping near the Wi-Fi router. Every time he'd go to lie down in bed, and it's been going on for a long time, he would have these, like, his heart would speed up and it'd be a little uncomfortable, you know, and I had that going on for quite some time on and off as well. And in another apartment where I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I tried different diets. I thought food must be doing it, but it was always when I went to lie down at night to go to bed, I'd have the same thing, you know, so that stopped. And that was the first thing he noticed. And he's like, okay, this is real, you know. I mean, it was like, because he was trying to support me, he knew, like, I was feeling it. But like I said, we both had a hard time accepting it. It wasn't an easy thing to accept because of the implications it had on our lives, you know, for our day-to-day lives. Like, what that meant, you know, was leaving everything, you know, leaving family and friends and careers and giving up on all this. So when we did move, you know, it was over time, it became more obvious to him how much it bothered him. Because I think for a little while, he had a cell phone he was using, especially when we were moving and having to, you know, on the road and having to, like, work out logistics of things. And then he decided he didn't want it anymore, because he noticed it was, he stopped using it, obviously, at the house. So we didn't even have reception there. He always had it off at the house, but he'd go places and use it, and it started to really bother him, and he didn't want to use it anymore. So he's like, you know, let's stop paying for this, let's give it up, you know. So he gave up his as well, maybe a year later, I'd say a year or two later. But his sleep improved, you know, his health improved. He had been having, like, a lot of ADD kind of problems too, you know. I tend to have some of those as well, and that's improved, you know, mood stabilizing. So, you know, and I'm just so grateful, because I know a lot of other people who've gone through this, whose partners totally abandoned them. It's a lot to ask, you know. It's like, if you want to test your relationship, that's going to be a big way of testing it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that was great. You know, that he actually loved you enough to realize that, you know, wow, this is a real thing. And he, you know. Yeah. And then he was willing to take that big step out of the city and do this adventure, and you have enough of a spiritual connection.
Yeah.
You know, I even love how you, it's at the very end, remember who you are, you know, You say you are a powerful creator with unlimited untapped potential. There's a reason the powers that be, that clearly should not be, are doing all they can to keep us from life-affirming and sustaining contact with our natural world and with each other. Our power threatens their control positions, and the best way for them to maintain obscene wealth and political and industrial power is to keep the people sick, overworked, and afraid. So we got to remember who we are and never give in to fear and totally have faith that there's invisible forces on the other side. We have the strength of our soul that, you know, this is literally a temporary thing, having a body here. Mm-hmm. So we're here to do something, and we'll be led along the way. I mean, you know that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You take
I mean, where you're at now is probably the best place you could be during the pandemic and everything. You're like, oh, my gosh, you actually are in a good place.
Yeah, and it's like we have to think, you know, I mean, and my partner appreciates that too, and we both really love where we are and the lifestyle we're leading now and living. You know, at first, a lot of things can feel like sacrifices that are ultimately for your own good. And it's hard to see that at the time, you know, because honestly, I am grateful for what happened to me, as hard as it was. I wanted this lifestyle change for a long time. I didn't want to live in the city. You know, there were so many things that were hard about living in the city for me, but I had a million excuses why I couldn't leave. I was forced to leave, and sometimes, you know, pain is a powerful teacher, and sometimes the painful lessons are the most effective, and we need, and unfortunately, you know, we often don't learn otherwise. So I think, you know, if you don't believe this and you still have a hard time with it, wait until the pain teaches you that it's real, you know, and wait and see what that does. But it forced me into these amazing, very challenging experiences, but really growth oriented, I could say. You know, no more playing around and, you know, messing about in my life. You know, just not just seeking the next fun time. You know, it's a lot deeper of an experience when you're pushed to really reevaluate everything. You know, all the things you thought were important and having to take stock of that and change your lifestyle and your attitudes and your values. So, you know, I mean, the kind of things we went through on a day-to-day basis, we still go through, but it's like more familiar to us now. So we don't even like really balk at it anymore. But one of the locations, the one we lived at the longest in Arizona, we were on the other side of a seasonal flowing river, which meant sometimes it would come up 8 to 10 feet and we couldn't cross. We'd be stuck on either side of that, you know, hopefully on our side and the home for weeks, sometimes a week or so. And other times we had to cross it through the muddy waters to get anywhere. We couldn't actually drive up to the house, especially when the river was flowing, but even other times because we didn't have the right kind of vehicle. So we actually had to walk. Anytime we wanted to go anywhere, we had to hike half a mile to the car one way. And this is like in the middle of the heat, you know, intense heat or in the summer, intense cold in the winter, carry groceries, anything we bought, carry in with us, carry our garbage out. You know, this nobody wanted this to this house. It was on the market for a long time because the access, you know, nobody wanted to go through that. We happened to be the right fit. We needed a place to retreat to, and so we were able to secure that. But we had to leave eventually because of smart meters. Smart meters forced our
way
out of that. Yes, and we fought it. You know, there were other people in our valley who, and one of those whose story I tell in the book, who also came for the same reason as we did. And we fought with everything we had. You know, we had a petition. We had almost everybody in our community against them. We spoke at the meetings and, you know, we did everything. We presented the science, but we couldn't. In the end, it was like we needed $100,000 for a lawyer to go to court over it. And we didn't have $100,000. So we left, you know, me and the other neighbors who were affected left. And I was like, oh, we had to leave again. And it was so heartbreaking because we had really, as much as I'm complaining it now and, you know, about the conditions, it was still our home and it had been our home for 5 years at that point. And, you know, it was really difficult to have to take up again, you know, and to, we'd already had to move a few times for various reasons in that valley and then move again and move another couple thousand miles away. You know, and work on, we had to work on a farm first to work trade out here that didn't ultimately work out because of the person in charge who was really exploitative in his position of power, you know, and it was like not a good situation for us ultimately, but, and we had to find another one. So it's just, you know, the repeated upheaval is, it really takes a toll. And I mean, I know other people going through this can testify to this because you can never really guarantee security in this world of, you know, staying away from exposures because it just, it'll just come in and find you. I mean, this is, and this is how threatened they are. You know, they can't even allow a few little spots here and there to remain unaffected because the thing is you can't allow an option for the people to see that like living this other way would be better and healthier for them, right? It's, you don't want a control group. It's like, so if you're going to experiment on the world's population, it better include everybody so that people can't say, look, I feel better over here. And this is where a lot of people don't understand their chronic symptoms are coming from these exposures because they never have a chance to get away from them. Even when they go on vacations in the woods, they bring their gadgets with them everywhere they go. You know, often the campsites have Wi-Fi now, you know, for the convenience of the campers, or they have a cell tower. So you never are getting away from it. And you're not going to understand what true health and wellness feels like until you get a chance to get away from those exposures. And, you know, like you were mentioning the spiritual side of this, it is an attack on that way too, because our mental clarity is essential to be staying sovereign in mind, body, and spirit. You know, so this is like this constant distraction, for one thing, you know, pulling our attention away from self-reflection, from meditation, from, you know, any kind of spiritual connection, and then robbing us of that, of our thought processes, of our ability to reason and, you know, come to these like solutions together and regain power over our, and sovereignty over our own lives and our own bodies.
Wow. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's so huge. I'm just so thankful that you have found this. I mean, we should be partnered up as male, female. I mean, really, that's just, it's the way it's supposed to be. So I'm just thankful that you have him. Yeah. And I hope you guys live, you know, that you guys are safe together and you don't experience, you know, being a widow or, you know, earlier than, you know, a lot of us have.
But we kind of make this joke because we heard it in a story once when we were listening to like a book on a tape on a trip where the narrator says like the character, that there was a couple and they kept saying to each other, who will die first? That was a question that came up all the time.
Oh, it's so hilarious.
Who will die first? You know, but it's true. Like you don't want to think about that, but that's a thing. Like somebody's going to die first, you know? And it's like, and neither of us wants to leave the other here to have to be alone. Yeah.
Well, the thing is it is an intense thing, you know, because I used to joke about, well, you always, you know, the woman is usually ends up being a widow. But I said, oh, well, that's why I married younger. You know, he was 4.5 years younger
too. Than me.
You know, so I thought, well, yeah, you just marry younger. Well, when they actually murdered him and he was only 46, you know, what are you going to do? But he had premonitions of it, you know, but I'm just saying, you know, it's just like, You never know, and you just have to, you know, roll with life, and, you know, having faith, it's really important to have a spiritual connection, and thank God you do, and that you're a good writer, and you're creative, and you're fun. I mean, you know, you have a good
thank
sense
you.
Of humor, and you tell a great
I think
story.
You have to. Yeah, you have to have a sense of humor. And, you know, I call, and one of the jokes we have is I call EHS, which is supposed to be electro-hypersensitivity, exploding head syndrome, because that's how it would feel for me. So, you know.
Yeah, and then we were told, well, you know, and our group was called EHS Idaho, and we had to change the name because they're making the EHS like they're crazy, so then you just say ES. And then, you know, we just say, look, we all have Wi-Fi syndrome or wireless, you know. I call it microwave syndrome. You know,
exactly.
We're all microwaves. You know, it's microwave radiation.
Yeah.
I mean, would you stick your head? Would you stick your whole body in a microwave oven 24/7? You know,
right? And that's what we're doing, really. I mean, unfortunately, and that's what we're doing to children and babies and unborn babies.
Right.
It's criminal, you know, and there is intent because there's foreknowledge and there's evidence of foreknowledge that this is harmful. So when there's foreknowledge, that means there's intent. I mean, it's hard to get away from that. It's you know, it's nice to try to think, oh, this is just human folly, and that, oh, it's just greed or something, as if like that's okay to excuse it. That's just greed, you know. But it's like, oh, you know, it's just kind of short-sighted, and we're just kind of getting it, you know, ahead of ourselves and excited about the technologies. I'm like, no. Like, this decades and decades ago, you know, full knowledge of the harmful impacts of also the mind control impacts, you know, the kind of zombie effect. I mean, this is a way to subdue populations and control, monitor and control populations. And this was used in mind control experiments, like as far back as, you know, the 40s.
Exactly.
Video frequencies. So, I mean, there's foreknowledge. That means intent. This is criminal intent. These are criminals. You know, this is crimes against humanity. And there's,
well, it is. I mean, the levels of mind control. I mean, I was going to bring up that story about this senator who was murdered. Well, we think she was. They made it like, well, this woman just swerved in her lane and did a head-on collision. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of reasons to take her out.
Yeah. You know?
And so I was like exploring that this week some. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's some really good in-depth stuff of things that she went to and spoke, just like Nancy Schaefer, you know, this is all mm-hmm. the child trafficking stuff. And, you know, so they think she was like a sleeper, you know, that, you know, just some woman that they, you know, she could have got the shot, but they basically got her to do the move, to do the head on yeah. and sacrifice her own life. They totally have this technology to do that.
You know, and I have, I didn't write about it in this book as much, but the book with John, that I wrote with John, we have a really long chapter on mind control. And I that was sort of one of my chapters. And there's actually technology that is advertised for like gamers to remote control your body to make you do certain movements for dancing. You know, isn't that great? Like, you know, I mean, and so this is advertised as a real thing. And this was even years ago already. I mean, if you can buy an application or whatever game that can make your body like move it the way that the program tells you, you think it's that hard for them to make somebody swerve off the road? You know,
yeah,
I mean, no, realistically, come on, you know, it's like, and, you know, and there's so much covert technologies and weaponry that we're never told about that the military has. So, I mean, this is something released to market, or that was at least being discussed to be released to market. I don't know if it has been, but this is a technology of actually remote controlling humans, like, you know, for fun. That's how they're advertising it, for fun, for entertainment.
Right.
Amazing. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, before we take callers, we want to start talking about, obviously, you know, things that were helpful in mitigating.
Yes. Yes.
So that's probably, I mean, people are like, wow, you know, there are a lot of symptoms I have. What if it is connected?
Yeah.
So, and it likely is, believe it or not. Well, what do I do? You know, so how do I minimize that? I'm not going to be able to move. Not everyone's going to be able to,
right,
you know, move where you are. I mean, it would be great, but, you know, pretty soon everyone would be living out. I know people that have actually moved out to the woods, and then they found things like apple pectin, you know, absorbed a lot, or, you know, like peat moss, you know.
Yeah.
So what were some of the tools that you found were, you know, minimized it?
I want to first say, too, if you actually do take heed of the canary warnings, you're not a canary yet yourself, you are in a good position, because you can actually be proactive and not end up being forced to move. Maybe you can do enough to reduce your exposures, you know, now. So obviously, the first thing is avoidance and reducing exposures, and whatever you can do in your position, get rid of your phone is ideal. If you can't do that, like, try to minimize your use, put on airplane mode anytime you're not using it for things like texting or, you know, calls. Try to start get a landline, use that, you know, hardwire your internet connection, get the Wi-Fi disabled in the modem. Unfortunately, they used to have a button that said on and off. They stopped even allowing that. You know, they don't even give that option to people anymore, but you can contact the utility company and have that disabled. So, but I haven't started to say, I guess.
Okay, let's talk about that after the break. Thank you, Shannon. We'll talk about some of the detail after the break.
Okay, great. Thanks. Great. Yeah.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. So we've had a lovely talk with Shannon Rowan. She's reminding you that her website is wifi-refugee.com. And there you can see all her work and the book that she wrote that we're discussing now, which is Wi-Fi Refugee, The Plight of the Modern Day Canary. So anyway, it's a meaty book and fun to read. She's turned it, you know, her whole life into a novel, and it is. I mean, it reads like a novel. It's fantastic. but it has enough meat in there. She has huge amount of resources, from both websites to hard copy, but mostly, easy access, resources to use. So you know, obviously you found resources for mitigation. So what do you feel are some of the best things? Then we'll take a caller.
Yeah, actually, the detoxing I did for heavy metals that I stumbled upon probably helped me recover the most. I mean, two things, getting restorative sleep away from exposures. That was really key for me, was getting my sleep cycles back. And that for me, you know, meant a lot of the time sleeping outdoors, you know, and farther from the house, away from any electrical, anything. But the other thing was the heavy metal detox. I used near infrared saunas, which I built one myself very cheaply at home. And I have instructions about how to do that in the book using like the red coated bulbs. And I also did coffee enemas and, carrot juicing, a little bit of that Gerson therapy, you know, idea. And some diet changes with like high sulfur foods, as well at the time. And see things like seaweed binding, charcoal and seaweed. I've done clays, but, those kind of things, what didn't work so well for me, which is, you know, supposed to help detox heavy metals, would be the, cilantro and chlorella. It was just too powerful. I think it really, even when I did small doses, I go through too much painful detoxing, and I don't recommend going through painful detoxing. I believe in this, if it hurts, it works, you know, or something, it's working. I think you should never, first do no harm. You know, you should not be harming yourself as you're trying to heal. Maybe you'll be a little more tired, you need to rest more, but beyond that, if you're in a lot of pain, then you need to cut way back and do it a lot more slowly. I know we get anxious to, you know, to kind of, we almost get competitive about these diets and things like, I'm gonna win. It's not a race, and it's not, you know, some kind of championship you gotta win. It's just, you want to pay attention to how you feel, and if you're feeling worse and worse, then something's not right. But I felt better doing the sweats and Epsom salt baths. Oh, you know, that.
So that was huge. Did you ever do the foot bath? You know how they do the foot baths and all those impurities come out?
No, because it uses electricity, the one that uses electricity.
Yeah.
I stayed away from anything that was using something electrical. I don't trust that. I know that there's some thoughts that some of the electrical things can be healing, but for me, it seemed like anything I used that was powered that way was not better, you know, and I avoided it. But I mean, in terms of course, the sauna used some electricity, but it wasn't a lot. The far infrared saunas that you know, are available commercially at spas and things are high in EMFs and can be a problem that way. But when you do the bulbs, you have a very short, you're just sitting back from it a little bit. So you're not really getting the EMF where you're sitting. So I think that's why that worked really well for me.
Mm-hmm.
And hot springs. Hot springs is a really, if you can get to a hot spring and a natural hot spring and soak in that, that's amazing as well. I mean, because when you have heavy metal damage or toxicity, which I think most people do, because unfortunately most of us have been vaccinated at some point in our lives, you know, and there's other sources, but that's, I think, the primary one. You know, the thing that happens is that you deplete your mineral reserves. It kind of pushes them out, you know, so what you want to do is get minerals back into your diet and into your body. And one of the best ways of doing that is through your skin, which is why Epsom salt soaks are amazing. And so are natural hot springs, because you're getting these minerals through your skin into your body. You can actually do a kelp wrap, like get kelp powder, make a paste. It's very messy, but that's another thing that could be really helpful, is to like lie down with seaweed all over your body, you know, and then wash it off later. But I mean, I think I've gotten better and better because of, especially now I grow a lot of my own food. Like right this summer, we don't even buy any produce. I have it all for my garden. We have spring water. We don't filter. We're fortunate enough to be in a place where we don't have to filter. And I filtered my water for so long in the city that I'm sure that contributed to my, mineral depletion, because it, you know, filters minerals out as well. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever done clay baths or foot baths, but we're going to take a caller. After the break, callers.
Okay, great.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. You know, this is to me, you know, this is an issue that's dear to my heart because I do see, you know, the effects on people and they don't realize it. And so Shannon's, you know, being really honestly sharing her story and things that have worked and not worked. So we have Jenna in Washington on the line. Thanks, Jenna. How are you doing? And what kind of question do you have for Shannon?
Well, Shannon, I'm really glad that you're here today talking on this subject with personal experience. So I appreciate all your efforts and your website and just getting your voice out there. And it's a subject that's close to me, too. It's affecting everyone. But in my case, my partner, he lost his daughter to leukemia. And she was 13.
And, so sorry.
Yeah, and he didn't get answers back in early 2000. And we connected with Dr. Martin Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on Ingrid's show once. And we call him a lot because, you know, he knows the chemistry of the biological effects and he speaks mostly, well, before COVID in Europe, but just recently he started doing research on the EMFs and the wildfires on the West Coast, because that's where he lives.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, he's in his 80s, retired, and I just think that big picture, all of the people that are aware and have knowledge should, you know, somehow exchange information or just be in touch with each other, because as the limitations and the censorships come up, it's like we need to adhere to the people that are doing the same fight. So I just wanted to bring his name to you, Dr. Martin Paul. He's in Portland, Oregon, and he has a 90-page paper out there. He went to the FDA to say, this is insanity. He traveled all over, and he has collected so much bodies of research in academia.
I'm aware of his work. I've quoted him in the book well. Oh yeah. I think he's amazing. He's great. I mean, I have never been in touch with him personally. I'd be happy if you could put us in touch. That would be great. But I totally admire his work, and I know what you're saying about the wildfires because of the increased terpenes in the plants, and the radiation actually like increases the terpenes, makes the plants more flammable.
Right. And it's an issue now because the fires are in eastern Washington, but even they popped up in Thurston County, and no one would consider it because the bandwagon of climate change.
Yeah.
And this is why we're going to just like change everybody's life in the next 10 years with all of
unfortunately, I'm going to make a kind of pun here, but it's fighting fire with fire. And that you're using, they want to use these technologies which are causing increase in fires, causing the, climate, what they call climate change, but really like it is, I say weather warfare. It's causing these changes because they want to use the same thing to prevent them and to sustainable reasons, allegedly. Nothing
absolutely
sustainable about technology, and it's destructive. It's environmentally destructive, responsible.
It is. It absolutely. I agree. We're on the same page. And also, like with all the emergency services, further pushing the broadband to connect for these emergency services.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. What they're calling broadband now is actually wireless. They've kind of been sneaky about it. It's really 5G. With the heat, kind of people becoming more aware about 5G and the dangers, they stop trying to say that, and they sort of start calling it other things like high speed broadband, which is like, really a misnomer. I mean, that used to just apply to fiber optics, and now they're kind of using that to apply to this new wireless. Exactly.
I got to guest host for Ingry last week, and on my interview with a Silicon Valley who developed all of the cameras, and maybe out of guilt has moved to being a whistleblower for how much the surveillance is tied into the future economy, the carbon economy, and all that, the smart city surveillance. And I'm really glad to just go back to the biological effects, because maybe you're one in the 2%, but I remember when my son was in school, he would go into the computer room, and he came home, and he's like, Mommy, I feel vertigo when I go into the computer room, and my arms get numb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what brought my awareness back in 2012 to, mm-hmm. visiting the school board, blah, 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 but, they weren't listening. But either way... I'm really glad that you got on air and you're sharing your information.
Thank you, Jenna. Thanks for your contribution as well, when the work you're doing.
Yeah, she had on Amin Jabi, and if you're not familiar with him, he really says it all. So you have heard him, but I'll send you some information on him.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, because you and John Hamer would really appreciate connecting with him.
Yeah.
So, anyway... So we have another caller. Thank you, Jenna, okay. so
You're
much.
You're welcome.
You did a great
Thanks
job.
So much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I was so thankful that you brought him on, by the way. I was really thankful. It was a great show. But I meant to write you, but didn't happen. So we have Chance in West Virginia. Thanks so much for calling, Chance.
Hi,
Hello,
Chance.
Hello, Ingrid. Hello, Shannon. First off, it's nice to know that you overcame your difficulties. It's refreshing. My question to you is, I have a couple of gravity-fed water filters. You know, I have mm-hmm. a Big Berkey and a Ready Pure. But I mm-hmm. also just purchased, maybe you can help me, a tabletop water distiller. It's pretty expensive. But what I've heard is, does it deplete you of minerals?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I stayed away from that because it is, I think there's some place for just using distilled water. I can't really speak on that too much because I haven't really had my own experiences with it. But I know the Berkey is good. I would stick with that, but I would be aware that, I mean, I've heard some people use it for detoxification effects for temporary use. I wouldn't go probably beyond temporary because you are, you know, basically you're going to have, I think it's more solvent. And so in that sense, you're kind of, you run the risk of like stripping your body of minerals. I could see on the one hand that you're going to maybe also carry heavy metals out, but then you could carry the minerals along with that. And that's the problem. So I think are supplementing with minerals, high minerals somehow while you're doing that, maybe you could have some, you know, I would just be cautious and aware of that. That, I mean, water's solvent already. And so you want the water to have a lot of minerals in it. Otherwise, it may pull minerals out of you.
Well, see, now I heard conflicting stories that distilled mm-hmm. water is very good for you. And I spent close to $500 for this tabletop uh-huh. water distiller. And I'm saying to myself now, well, what should I, if I do use this, what minerals should I supplement with?
That's tricky. I would try to get something that's a full-bodied. I mean, it's always going to be hard when you try to put back something in, you know, that you get in a natural form in the right balance. And even if it's a full-bodied salt or something like that, it's tricky to try to get that. And that's why, personally, I've steered clear of using something like distilled water because of that concern. And I'm sorry you spent that much money, but it's just the thing that we know is that distilling would make it a very pure, you know, it's this idea of being totally felt very pure, which means what I understand is lacking minerals. But as I said, you run the risk of that then as a solvent going through your body, pulling minerals out, which again, you can pull heavy metals, but then other good minerals at the same time. Now, I mean, I'm drinking, people will be shocked, I think, in a way, but we've been drinking water straight from the creek without anything. I mean, we're lucky to be in a place where it's pretty clean water here. I don't know, you know, where you are, if you could do the same thing, but I've been a lot healthier since I've been drinking pure spring water and pure creek water without any kind of filter,
wow.
you know, because it's a lot of minerals in it and I have not got sick. I mean, a lot of people are worried about, you know, we have this kind of fear of nature and germs and that and dirt. I mean, I think what I would actually say is eat dirt. If it's not sprayed, if you know it's not being sprayed directly, you know, and you right. want to try that. I mean, one way to get a supplement like of minerals is to eat dirt.
That's actually craving sure. inorganic stuff. So, mm-hmm. you know, if I you don't mind me chiming in, I've studied this actually.
No, go ahead.
I actually have studied this. And, you know, rainwater is structured and more like distilled water. It is mineral-free. We mm-hmm. should be having mineral-rich soil. We should be having soil that has lots of sulfur in it. Now we're supplementing with MSM. You know, I mean, we should yes. have this because we stop, you know, the whole sulfur cycle when we stop putting manure back into the soil right. and starting doing the, you know, the three, you know, PPP, whatever, you know, the yeah. fertilizer. Well, but, you know, we already know that. But the point is you can do a lot of herbal stuff. I mean, I actually have harvested a lot of horsetail. I will put it in smoothies. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of minerals because most of us that have aluminum in our body, which is very common to have this excessive aluminum. I mean, silica is like the third most abundant mineral yeah. in the Earth's crust, but it's not a bioavailable form. So right. You need to supplement with silica or get it in a way that's the micron size is down, and you're going to get it most assimilable if it's been through plant life. That's just the fact of the matter. And
right.
It tend to be more right. concentrated in
Ingrid, isn't it true, Ingrid? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's
okay. Isn't it true that our soil is seriously depleted of sulfur nowadays? Right.
That's what she was saying, and I want to just say too. Yeah. When I say dirt, I mean I'm kind of being a little facetious, but what I mean is that it's hard. Like you're saying, it's depleted, so you're not really going to get the minerals you need from it unless you're in a place where there's been organic farming a long time or something. I mean, I'm doing that myself, and so you know I tend to like, you know, garden, and then I'll actually eat the dirt out from under my fingernails. I mean, that's first of all how little I'm concerned about so-called germs, but secondly, I understand the importance of getting those, you know, the bacteria and the environment in my body, and having like a, you know, about the importance of terrain and supporting terrain in your body and not depleting that and getting as many different kind of microorganisms and
yep.
minerals
yep.
as possible. But right, green plant foods are high in mineral if you can get organic and all that. So I would say, because I just personally don't really, I do take MSM sometimes, but I tend not to take too many supplements, especially if they're synthetic, because it just, you get these weird imbalances when you take high supplements mm-hmm. that are synthesized. And I just, mm-hmm. as much as I can, I just try to eat, you know, fresh, raw greens and fruits, and, you know, get outside in the dirt and drink the, you know, unfiltered spring water and creek water in our case.
And that's ideal. Actually, that's ideal. Yeah. And you know, Chance, you live in an area where you could do that. You could actually grow
yeah,
a big garden.
I have here yeah. in my county, there's quite a few organic farms. So okay. I'm lucky that way.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, ladies, thank you for taking the time yeah, to talk to me,
you.
And
that's,
have a good
it's
weekend.
It's a good topic. Thank you. Thanks
yep.
so much. Good luck.
Right. Bye. Yeah. See, your water, I mean, it, you know, it could be from an underground spring. I mean, it could have a lot of minerals. It really
yeah.
depends. When it starts going through pipes, and, you know, sometimes you can tell if it's real excessive iron or excessive mm-hmm. calcium. And those kind of things actually aren't real bioavailable. That's just,
no.
just so you know. I mean,
no, I right. Yeah.
You want the fungus and the micro, you know, there's that whole communication
yeah.
network of plants, and we disturb it by this constant tilling, you
right.
know. And there's that guy in California where he plants, and he never, when he weeds or anything, it just mm-hmm. he leaves it right there, and
mm-hmm.
his soil is so rich,
right.
and it's just like this big mulch pile that he plants into.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the most healthy plants ever, you know, because the whole,
right.
you know, fungal system, it's everything's totally intact. You're just planting in this big mulch from weeds.
Yeah, we've got mushrooms growing in our garden. I don't think they're the edible kind, but I just leave them there. I'm like, well, good, there's fungus, you know.
yeah, right.
But, you
actually,
know,
another
well,
way if to... it looks nice, most of it are.
Right.
Be surprised actually.
Well, yeah, there are, I mean, we do gather wild mushrooms here too. That's another benefit we have in this living in the forest here. We know, you know, several varieties really well that we trust are, you know, non-poisonous, but you know,
yeah, we have white puffballs, the puffballs,
white puffballs, yeah,
those little teeny white ones that grow, you know, in your garden or lawn a lot of
right.
times. Those are, believe
yeah.
it or not. I mean, but yeah, so
you know,
go ahead.
The way to get silica that I do is diatomaceous earth in settling it in water first, and you drink the water. So you put like the diatomaceous earth, like a big scoop of it, in a half gallon or gallon jar, let it sit like a day or two, and then drink that, because what happens is then the silica gets into the water molecules, and that becomes more bioavailable. And
that's
I can tell when I don't drink it that. There's a problem, you know, like we drink that regularly, and it helps support joint health. And, you know, when we have injuries, we can tell that if we drink that, they heal faster with like muscle tears and joint problems. So,
cool.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
great. Well, thank
you. It does detox the aluminum, like you said earlier.
Yep, exactly. You need something to get that aluminum out, which is really huge for a lot of people.
Right.
You know, people that drink beer out of a can or sodas out of a can. I mean, oh my gosh.
Oh, gosh.
So anyhow. I know that all the, you know, aluminum cookware and blah, blah, blah.
So much.
So we have another caller, Dave in Nevada. Thank you for coming on the program, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hello. Yeah, I just I had a few comments I wanted to make. First of all, I'm Asian, and mm-hmm. I noticed that you were talking about spas and sea kelp for your diet.
Mm-hmm.
And what I know, and what I noticed that when I went to Asia, like I went to several different countries there, like Korea and Japan, is that there are spas everywhere, mm-hmm. and people go to them. People go to spas like very frequently.
Right.
They go there all the time, like families, like everybody just goes there, like in groups.
Right.
And they also have a very sea kelp or seaweed-rich diet. And what I noticed is that when I went there, it's just, there's no obesity.
Okay.
There's like zero obesity. Yeah.
Did you hear that? I mean, I think he wants to do a commercial break, and he doesn't know that I'd like to skip the last one on this one, not the first hour. Okay. No, I usually not the first hour, but the second hour callers.
Okay.
So, so go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
Oh, no. But what I noticed was that there's very, there's zero obesity, first of all. And secondly, everyone looks much younger for their age, especially in comparison to what I see here in the United States when I came back. It's just, when I see people and they tell me their age, they just look way older than they should here.
Yeah.
As opposed to when I went to, when I go to Asia, when I went to Asia or just Asian people in general, they look way younger.
Yep.
In terms of age versus what they look like.
And, what country are you talking about, Dave?
Oh, I'm talking about Korea and Japan. They're like, there's
okay.
no obesity there.
Yeah,
it's like zero obesity.
I know what you're talking about with the Korean spas because when I was living in Maryland still, they had one there. I think it was in Maryland, either Maryland, it was in Virginia, I think, on near D.C. And it was like a Korean spa. And
right.
like you said, whole families came and they had all these different infrared sauna rooms, some steam ones, an ice mm-hmm. room, a cold plunge, different heat, you know, heated pools and soaks. But you see these Korean people, like old Korean people, and they're like taking naps in the 175 degree I'm just like, what? They're snoring, you know, there's lying out snoring, and I'm like, I'm soaking my clothes they give you with just drenched in sweat within a few minutes, probably showing how toxic I was. But, there was an amethyst room, like all amethyst crystals around. I mean, amazing. Loved it.
Yeah.
Spa world. Yeah. but they know that sweating is important, I think. And the mineral, they use the minerals in their sauna rooms. There was a crystal, a pink, like Himalayan salt room, I think is one of them as well. And a charcoal room was another one. Like heated mm-hmm. charcoal balls and everything. So yeah, and also you're right, a very high seaweed diet, which does detoxify heavy metals and iodine. And it's amazing what you're saying, that they look so good and young when given that a lot of the environments in Asian, at least cities especially now, are so polluted, not just with air pollution, but with the EMFs. And you know, they're seeing a really high rate of, Taiwan has the highest rate of electrosensitivity, actually, something like 10%, because they've had these technologies longer and the people are using them more. There's a lot of addiction problems in Japan and China with gaming, and suicides are related to that. And so they're having it's a social problem and a health problem that they're facing as well, and a crisis that they're facing. But I mean, given all these exposures, Wuhan was the first, smart city in the world, basically, like boasting the most 5G antennas, and near Beijing, which is horrible air quality. I've had trouble traveling to Asia myself because I have asthma, and I really had a hard time breathing in a lot of places, even in places like Bali, which were supposed to be cleaner. They weren't, for me, it was really difficult. So it's a lot. And so that says a lot that anybody could be healthy in some of those environments, that those things must be working for them to some degree.
Yeah, I agree. So it's a little bit of a balancing act. But another thing that I wanted to address was that I wanted to ask you, there's this story about a woman who crashed. I don't know if you guys heard this. She crashed her Mercedes into an intersection, and it killed like six people. in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And she was going about 90 miles an hour. Anyway, so I was thinking to myself, is this woman vaxxed? And as I dug into the story a little bit more, it turns out this woman was a registered nurse.
Wow,
which means
so probably.
She was almost highly, very likely vaxxed. But right. the question I wanted to ask is, what do you think the long-term effects will be in correlation to a large segment of the population being exposed to both the vaccination and the Wi-Fi at the same time? What is that?
That's a great question. It's pretty frightening, I think, because as you might know, and maybe a lot of listeners know, the vaccines have been shown to have graphene oxide in them, which is a highly conductive metal. It's called a superconductor, actually. And so when you combine that with like even more EMF exposures, you know, you're talking about a walking time bomb, really, of some kind. You know, it's not sustainable for sure. And, you know, graphene oxide has been used in antidepressants before now. So it has some kind of like numbing effect, which can explain a lot of why people seem to like be apathetic, you know, to what's going on with their liberties being taken away. And that, I mean, there's other issues like genetic modification. It's a long conversation probably because we've got, I mean, I think a lot of us are seeing the health consequences, people dying from it, you know, or having like severe problems like blood clots. And but long term, I would say that there's going to be a population reduction, which is what is intended, you know, for one thing.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, just the kind of slave race of people who are left, you know, because that's the other goal, as I see it,
right.
Is kind of slave race that's, you know, one step on the way to transhumanism and being, you know, cyborg and being remote controlled and completely controlled by the state. I mean, this was talked about a long time ago, even back in the 60s by somebody named Jose Delgado, who wrote a book called The Psycho-Civilized Man, and he did experiments with bulls and radio frequencies and put like a, you know, sensors on a bull's head and a charging, you know, wowed the audiences with this bull charging him, and he was able to make it stop in its tracks with his remote control device. And he was all for like the psycho-civilized man, as he called it. Like, for our own good, we could be controlled with radio frequencies. I mean, he proposed this in the 60s. You know, so there's the surveillance aspect of being sort of tagged and chipped and surveilled, you know, and then controlled. I mean, I think that a lot of these psychopaths who are behind this stuff just see us as cattle, and, you know, they see this as their job to manage the herd, and we are the herd. They call us the herd all the time, you know.
Okay.
So I'm afraid of what will happen.
It's the end of the show.
Sorry. Thanks for that.
Thank you, Shannon. I really appreciate the show. Please buy our book, Wi-Fi-Refugee. Bye.
Okay,
really
thanks.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Bye.
How does $49,000 relate to $7 trillion? I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. $7.1 trillion is what our federal government has authorized to spend on COVID one way or another so far. That number goes up every time Biden announces the next free test or free pill or free mask or free jab. But let's stick with $7.1 trillion for now. There were 144.3 million taxpayers last year. Let's do some math. Total COVID spending divided by the total number of taxpayers equals how much COVID has cost you. And that is $49,203. Remember, every billion the government spends costs you $7, and every trillion costs you $7,000. How long before the government demands your portion of the national debt? $243,000. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.